こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語で、バイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、日曜日、中国のハー・ジェンクイ准教授が YouTube に動画を投稿し、 HIV に耐性を持つようにゲノム編集を施した受精卵から実際に双子の子供を誕生させたと発表しました。動画の中でハー氏は、双子の父親が HIV 陽性で子供を持てないと思っていたが、ゲノム編集によってそれが可能になったという趣旨の説明をし、双子は健康であり、ゲノム分析の結果、オフターゲット変異は見られず、ゲノム編集は成功したと主張しています。一方、ハー氏が倫理審査の承認を受けたとしている深センの病院は、署名が偽造されているとして警察に捜査を依頼しているほか、所属する南方科技大学も、ハー氏は今年の2月から休暇取得中で、この件について全く報告を受けていないとして、関与を一切否定しています。ゲノム編集を施した受精卵を体内に戻す行為は、中国国内でも医療ガイドラインに違反しており、当局は事実関係について捜査を開始しました。
On Sunday, Chinese researcher He Jiankui uploaded a video to YouTube in which he claimed to have edited the genomes of two fertilized eggs to confer resistance to HIV, and that these eggs matured and have been born as twin girls.In the video, he states that the father is HIV positive and thought he could not have children, but that this became possible with the gene editing. He also stated that the twin girls are healthy and that a genetic analysis did not find any off-target changes, suggesting the procedure was successful. However, if it turns out that the ethical approval, which he claims to have received from a Shenzhen hospital, was falsified, he could be subject to criminal investigation. Furthermore, according to the Southern University of Science and Technology,He has been on unpaid leave since February, and the university is denying any knowledge of the experiment. As implanting fertilized eggs which contain edited genomes is itself a violation of Chinese medical guidelines, government authorities have opened an investigation.
そう、これはやばみが深い。あの、昨日の時点では実際にこれは本当にやったのかどうかっていうことすらも分かってなくて、まあ今も正直論文がないから、本当にこの双子が存在するのかどうかっていうのを証明できてないんだよね、まず。なので、
Seems likely.
そうそうなので、私はちょっと疑問が湧き出てきすぎたので、前にゲストで来てくださった清水敦さんに早速昨日の夜メッセージをして、いろいろあのお話をして、質問して説明してもらったんだけど、あのプレゼンテーションのスライドとかを見る限り、これが仮に捏造だとしたらかなりの手間暇がかかっているので、実際に行われた可能性は高いと思うって清水さんは言ってた、最初の段階ではやっぱりちょっとおぼかたさん的な、まあ、やってないのにやったって言ってるのかなっていう声も多かったんだけど、で論文がないので、あの YouTube が最初に出たんだよね。あのこれはメディアが情報をリークしたので、彼が急いで YouTube に動画を投稿する羽目になったっていう経緯があったからなんだけど、これ本当に調べれば調べるほど、もう絶対やっちゃいけない中のやっちゃいけないをしでかしてるんだよね、でも私の中ではこれは今年一番のやってしまった話なんだけど。
Yeah, well, this is a, I mean, we've been talking about the potential of this happening, and honestly, much of the speculation about where it might happen, you know, was focused on China.
そうね。
And, そう。 it's arrived.
で、これは問題が山積みで、まず一つ目に、これつまり全く問題がない、治療も必要ない健康な受精卵の CCR5 遺伝子を勝手に欠損させてるんだよね、で うまくいけば確かに子供は HIV に感染しない。ただその代わり、ウエストナイル熱とかインフルエンザに感染しやすくなるし、その場合の致死率も高くなる。で、当然受精卵は喋れないから、本人の同意なしに勝手にこれをやってしまっている。だからこの子供たちの権利を完全に無視してる。で、清水さんにこのジンクイ准教授のプレゼンの資料をシェアしてもらったのね、
うん、
で、そこでいろいろ説明してもらって判明した私の中でもう一番の衝撃のヤバ事実が、双子は一卵性じゃなくて二卵性なの、
うん、
だからつまり自然に双子だったんじゃなくて、あえて受精卵を2つ体内に戻してわざと双子にしてるのね、
うん、
で、双子のうちルルちゃん、多分仮名だけど当然ルルちゃんの方はこの CCR5 が2つとも壊してあって、ナナちゃんの方は1つ残してあるのね、
うん、
で、これはつまりナナちゃんはコントロールなんだよ、
うん、
で、1人は2つ壊してあって1人は1つしか壊してない、
うん、
からもしこれが成功してればルルちゃんは HIV に将来感染しないけど、ナナは普通に感染することができる。で、その差をつけてるのはおそらくわざとなんだよね、
うん、
だから清水さん曰くこれはもうマウス感覚、
うん、
2人同時に戻して、
うん、
1人はコントロール、1人はもう完全にエディットしてある状態、
うん、
だからこれをこの子たちの親がどこまで理解して承諾しているのかも定かではないよね、そうなってくると。
I don't know. I mean, do we know anything about that, really?
ね、一つはこの准教授自身が親に説明をしたんだって。で、それ自体も結構 unethical っていうふうに突っ込まれていて、その彼はこの実験に参加してもらうインテレストががっつりあるわけじゃん。だから本当は第三者が入ってこれに参加するメリットとデメリットをきちんと説明しなくちゃいけない。だけど本人がやっちゃってるから、まあどこまで親に説明してるのかも、まあもちろん今の段階では誰にもわからない。で、
Was there some I'm sure there was some kind of legal consent documents that were produced or at leastRecords, right?
そうで、インフォームドコンセントの資料もネット上で、まあこれ本物か分かんないけど一応出回ってる写真があって、そこにはあの HIV ワクチンのためのっていう言葉が書いてあるんだよね、
うん、
でそれもちょっと意味が分かんないんだけど、でこの彼は動画の中でオフターゲット変異は起きてないから完全に安全ですって言ってるんだけど、それもオフターゲット変異が全く起きてないってどうして言い切れるのか。今確認してもし、あ、起きてないねってなったとしても今後どうなってくるか分かんないし、そもそものチェック体制がちゃんとできてるのかも分かんないっていうのはいろんなところから今指摘されているんだよね。だからもう人体実験なんだよ、
うん、
完全に。そしてまあ、もう一つ別のレイヤーでやっぱりおかしいのは、この人はずっと、まあ、父親が HIV 陽性だから子供に HIV がいかないようにとか、子供に将来 HIV 感染してほしくないからっていうことを言ってるんだけど、まずその大義名分がおかしい、意味がわからない。日本のメディアはなぜかそれに引きずられて、日経新聞とかも父親の HIV が感染しないようにこれをしたとか、そのまま彼の言葉を使って説明してんだけど、
really relevant, right? Because the father having HIV doesn't necessarily mean that there's transmission because they treat the sperm before fertilization.
普通に男性側が HIV 陽性でお母さん側が HIV 持ってない場合、このケースみたいに、mm-hmm. 安全に妊娠して出産する方法っていうのは一個どころか複数あって、ウイルスがいるのってセーメンなんだよね、精子自体じゃない。だからスペルムワッシングって言って、まあ私も 顕微授精のためにやったんだけど、まあ、こうやって洗って、ウイルスを取り除いた状態で精子を IVF で作れば、子供はもちろん HIV には感染してないし、そもそもお父さん側が薬を飲んでウイルスを減らした段階で、お母さん側もプレップとかを飲んでれば自然妊娠もできるわけよ。
うん、
だから全然こんなゲノム編集なんかする必要がそもそも全くないのに、それをあたかも大義名分であるかのように言ってる時点で怪しさ満点みたいな。
That is a kind of a weird detail to how the whole thing was presented.
そうなの。そう。
It's interesting how in the video he kind of went out of his way to say that he doesn't support genetic modification, for intelligence or physical right. appearance and things like that. And, I mean, it's funny that he would have an agreeable position on those things and then go do something that is so... I mean, to me, I feel like, you know, this is obviously... it seems unsafe for the subjects.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can actually check for 100% for off-target mutations. So I think it's only like 70% or something, and you could miss the other ones. And so there's a real known potential for a bizarre, a mysteriously bad outcome
so,
from this experiment based on our, the limits of our knowledge. It's possible so, that it's not an issue, but as a part of scientific process, you don't put those unknown risks on
to these children,
to human beings, and so, it really undermines the public trust in this kind of research.
そうなの。だから清水さんが言ってたのは、クリスパーの医療への応用が最悪のスタートになったって。で、本当にその通りで、そもそも本当にこれをやる必要が全くないところでこれを行って、しかも安全かどうかを確認するのに、やっぱり今の技術ではそこが限定的っていう中で、なぜか安全って言い切ってる。こともそうだし、その HIV に関してマイケルも見たって言ってたけど、彼のプレゼンテーションでは最初からHIV の人に偏見があってみたいな話を延々としてるんだよね。で、 YouTube でもその話してるけど、でもこれをやることによってより HIV の偏見が強まるじゃん。あ、こんなことしないと子供持てないのって思っちゃう人もいると思うんだよね。で、全然そんなことないのに。で、 HIV なんて今や薬を飲めばエイズを発症して死ぬっていうことはほとんどない病気になってるわけで、なんかその、うん、なんで今これっていう、もう謎が謎を呼ぶで、
well, also I don't think we quite know the effects of removing a gene like CCR5.
そうなの。
Like what happens to the rest? I mean, this is the base code for everything your body does, and a lot of these genes areYou know, it might look like this gene is like the AIDS susceptibility gene, but it's actually doing a lot of other shit, and it's connected to a lot of other things. And the amount of research that's needed to exhaustively confirm that removing a gene isn't going to have some deleterious effects is we're not there yet. At least the scientific community has a consensus right now that we're not
There yet.
There yet, at all. And it's important to respect that consensus. Otherwise, it's difficult for us to permit this kind of research. And if this guy is so bullish and so optimistic about the prospects of CRISPR technology, I mean, this is the worst thing you could possibly do for the development of that technology and adoption by, you know, on a larger scale.
So, だから scientific community の人たちは基本みんな怒っているし、中国国内の、まあ、同じ分野の人たちも当然怒っている。で、彼は動画の中で IVF を例に挙げて、 IVF だって最初はタブーだったけど、今では広く受け入れられていて、これもそうなるみたいなことを言ってるんだけど、いや全然違うだろうと思って、 まあ、清水さんに私は聞いたのね、それも。それって同列に語れるものなんですかねって。そしたら、いや、当然同列で語れるものじゃないし、これは子孫に受け継がれてしまうものだから、
うん、
でそれはそうなんだよね。この双子の子供、その子孫ってどんどん広がっていって、何かこの実験によって起きた変異がどんどん受け継がれていっちゃう、
うん、
そしてこの子供たちはもちろん、その子孫もみんなそれに納得して同意したわけじゃない、
うん、
でその責任ってこの教授一人が取れるようなもんではないわけじゃん、
うん、
ことが重大すぎて、だから、うん、あのすごいことをやらかしてしまったんだよね、この人は。なのにYouTube のビデオでは結構ほんわかとした感じで喋ってるから、なんか差がすごすぎて結構ギョッとしてる。
Something beyond our society and culture itself. There's something deeply profound about this. Deeply, deeply profound about changing the human genome.
So,
the germline DNA is, I mean, I don't think it's never been done by will on human beings, at least. And once it's done, then those changes can be, you know, propagated through your progeny, through generations. And how can you control that? Now you have some responsibility to control or manage some genetic change that you made in a person. What are you going to do? You're going to sterilize this person now?
Like,
the consequences are just not... We don't even know what they are yet, honestly.
で、結局、もちろんそのオフターゲット変異を見つけるために、受精卵の段階と体内にいる段階と出産後にゲノム分析してる。で、その結果大丈夫だったって言ってるんだけど、じゃあ大丈夫じゃなかったらどうするつもりだったのかっていう。その、まあ、体内にいた段階だったら中絶させることになるし、産んだ後だったらじゃあ、それこそね、どうするのっていう話で。で、私は素人目で、もしかしてこれは、問題がない受精卵をいじったから、ここまで倫理的に絶対に正当化できないだけであって、仮に何か疾患があるものをいじって治したんだったら、まだ議論の余地があったのかなと思ったのね。で、それを清水さんに聞いてみたら、それも違くて、なんか、筋ジストロフィーみたいな遺伝疾患だとしても、胚盤法、その、まだ受精卵で分割してる、ある程度分割したところで変異がないものを選べばいいだけだから、わざわざこんなゲノム編集する必要はないと。
うん、
でここまでのリスクを取ってやる必要は全くない。だから私も不妊治療の時に、まあ、胚盤法何個か作って選んで戻したわけじゃん。で、その段階ではもちろん、ね、私はそういう遺伝子検査とかをして選んだわけじゃないんだけども、まあ、そこで一旦そういうプロセスを入れるっていうことだよね。でそれは可能だから、これをやる必要は本当にない。つまりこの人は倫理審査書類を allegedly 偽造して、その必要性のないゲノム編集を行って、さらに効果測定のためにコントロールまで用意して双子にして、で YouTube で世界に発表するっていう、もうなんかホラー映画だよ。
Well, think about this. I mean, is it just human beings that are upset about this? Is it just our world that is offended by this? There's almost something on like just a super cultural, just in terms of what's happened with life in the universe itself. As far as we know, this sort of violation, maybe it's not a violation, but it seems pretty violation-y.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, I mean, evolution has been at work for nearly 4 billion years on this planet. And no one has ever grown their head big enough to think it was a good idea to change that, you know. And there's...
Yeah.
There's something very creepy about it. So if you think about the difference between nature and nurture, right?
Yeah.
So is this nature or is this nurture? It's your genes.
Right.
You're born with them, but someone changed them.
で、やっぱり恐ろしいのは、まあ、例えばこの変異のせいで癌になりやすくなったり、インフルエンザで死んだりする可能性があるわけじゃない？その時に、まあ、私個人は医療に関しては自分自身が患者自身が納得してウェイバーにサインさえすればまあ何でもやっていいんじゃないかと思ってるのね、
うん、
ただこれに関しては子供だから本人が選んだことじゃない、もう生まれた瞬間に勝手にもういじり終わってる、そこが一番問題の部分だよね、
うん、
だからこの子は、まあ、このルルちゃんの方は HIV には感染しないかもしれないけど、じゃあその代わりインフルエンザで重症化して死ぬってなった時に、なんで親がそっちをじゃあ選んだのか勝手に選択したわけだから彼女の知らないところで、それはやっぱりどう考えても OK ではないよね。
Yeah, you know, this whole incident kind of validates Nick Bostrom's idea, the black ball hypothesis. That if you have enough people with access to enough powerful tools, then somebody is going to cross some line somewhere. The consequences of which could be, you know, more than we can really handle and manage. I don't think this will end the world, but
この教授のモチベーションが全然意味がわからないよね。
Think about how many humans there are. Think about how many humans are on Earth. How many of them are geneticists? How many of them... I mean, you don't need crazy resources to play around with CRISPR or Cas9. You can rent a lab, hire like 3-4 smart guys, order some lab coats and a clipboard, and you're off. Like, it's not that hard, right? I mean, couldn't you do this? You could go online and find some...genetic researchers, and they're getting paid, you know, not huge amounts to do sort of, you know, publicly funded research. It's like, hey, why don't we go go do something crazy? You know, that's the black ball hypothesis, right? And here he is, you know, he's on leave. He's kind of off the radar. He's got this lab and he's got his people, you know, some, it's not a,There wasn't a whole lot of transparency. I mean, this is exactly what we were talking about last week. And here it is on our doorstep.
で、一応今論文が査読中っていうふうに彼は言っていて、どこの雑誌がそれを受け付けてるのか明らかになってないか分かんないんだけど、あの、もう一人ゲノム編集をした赤ちゃんが今妊娠の初期段階にあるっていうことも彼は言っていて、だからそうすると3人目になっちゃうんだよね。
Yeah.
あの、何をやってんのかっていう。本当に。
They're gonna make a movie about this. At least there will be books written. This will be in history books. This will be in science textbooks.
これは。
And the most disappointing part about this is, as far as I can tell, it's not like.He has gone and made some tremendous scientific discovery or developed some amazing new technique or anything. It's just, he just kind of went and did something that other people weren't doing because you're not supposed to do it.
そうなの。だから多分この研究をしてる人だったらやろうと思えばこれは誰でもできるんだよね。ただやらないだけで。
If you're gonna break the rules, don't you want toshouldn't there be some huge discovery or something like massive breakthrough where it's like it's just too enticing? You can't.
だからこの人のモチベーションが私には全く理解できない。こんな意味ないことを、だから確かに例えばそれこそ HIV 陽性、男性が HIV 陽性だったら子供を持てないっていう状況がある中でこれをやったんだったら、まだしも全然そんなこともないのに。なんか自分の仕事とかこの業界この分野全部にリスクをもたらしてやることではないんだよね。だから何考えてるのか分かんないけど、とにかくこの分野の 研究者の人みんなはすごい迷惑してると思うけどね。
What do you think is going to happen in the future with CRISPR, Cas9, gene editing, ethics? Are we going to have a huge debate about ethics?
Is this,
what's going to happen?
このケースに関しては結局どこどう見ても倫理的じゃないからあんまりそのここからすごい議論に発展するっていう感じでもなさそうというかそれもこの残念なところなんだよねなんかだからこそ本当に意味ない、
But it raises the discussion about if there are better you know, potential uses for this kind of technology and we can get to a point where you know, we can confirm that there aren't off-target effects and you know, if we can make it safe and it works, should we still not do it?
でもそれをさ実用化のために研究者の人たちは日々頑張ってるわけじゃん、mm-hmm. それはマウスとかを使ってさ、mm-hmm. だからそれを全部無視してこうやって人体実験する。
But what do you think about that question? Let's say it's safe. Let's say the science is in and we can do it and it works and it doesn't mess people up and we can do it in a far more orderly fashion than how this person attempted to do it. You know, because I mean, we're all kind of operating under the assumption that someday this will be a reality and it will be applied to human beings and it will be making changes to the human germline. I mean, there's kind of this
right
assumption that we're all, I mean, otherwise what are we doing all this research for?
Right.
That someday we'll have it figured out and we'll be able to use it. But there's still an ethical debate about that juncture, that place of departure from our naturally inherited human bodies.
Yeah.
Which they won't really be once we start doing that.
だからやっぱりその筋ジストロフィーとかについて清水さんが言ってたみたいに結局その肺を選んで変異がないものを戻せばいいっていうだけで解決するものについてはそれを選ぶべきだし
of course.
何でもかんでもこうゲノム編集するっていうのは全く必要ないことだから、ただ確かにもうこれをやるしかないで、やらない場合、結果がすごく重篤で本人が苦しむみたいな場合は、もちろん、まあ、議論の後に、
OK
になるっていうのはあると思うよ。
That will likely be the case in 20, 30 years for almost all diseases, for almost everyone. You know, so that is a question. I'm like, I don't, like, what's your stance on that? I don't really know what to think of it, honestly.But we are going to have to face this question. Yeah. We have millions and millions of people who will die if we don't.
それをこうみんなが考えていかなきゃいけないねってすごくセンシティブなトピックなわけじゃん。一歩間違えると本当に優生思想みたいになってしまうし、だそこをすごく careful に進めてる中でこれだからね。だからだってさ、二卵性の双子をわざと作って一人をコントロールにするってそんな話聞いたことないよ。
But there were many more made than just like many eggs were used in this process, right? And there were probably many participants
right.
in the study, right? Many couples in the study,
some,
right?
Some, yeah. But だってこのコントロールの子はもう人間なわけで。
Well, I mean, it seems like they're after the research side of this. So, I mean, I don't know which is worse, being the control or not being the control. They're both not. I mean, being a part of the experiment at all, it seems like, you know, I mean, what would you think if you...You're 5-6 years old, you're getting older, and it's like, oh, by the way, you were conceived as part of this world's first rogue, you know, cowboy experiment. Like, that's... And then we don't know if you're normal or not.
そう。やっぱり一つ疑問として、この動画で教授が言ってるように、双子の父親が、ああこれのおかげで生きる意味が見出せましたみたいに言ったとすれば、実際にこのお父さんは安全にこんなことしなくても子供が産めるっていうことを知ってたんだろうかっていう、それをちゃんと情報を知らされた上でこれに同意したんだろうかっていう、そうとは思えないからね。
It just seems like such a clumsy, that whole part of the story just seems so clumsy.
そうなの。
It's like how do you have like all this other stuff, you know, fairly well put together. I didn't think his, I was actually expecting his presentation to be much worse than it was. I was expecting his answers to be worse than they were. I mean, they weren't all great answers, but, you know, he seemed a little stressed out up there, but he was fairly composed, and he seems like he sort of knows what he's doing, you know? But then this ultra clumsy part of the story is just so confusing.
だからなんか怖いって怖って思っちゃうよね。結局この親も騙されてんじゃないかとか。だって自然妊娠でもいいんだよ。なのになんでわざわざこんなの同意するのかっていう。その、大体さ、今の時代、普通の不妊治療だとしても、卵を2個戻すなんてことはしないわけよ。やっぱり双子とか三つ子とかになるっていうことは、それだけ子供にも、その胎児にも母親側にもすごくリスクがあるからね。だから普通は1個しか戻さないわけよ。それをさ、
Do it for science. Right?
そうだから。
Because, you know, these participants may have felt that they're doing a major service to humanity, you know, by taking that kind of risk. I don't know if that's what they were told, but, you know.
だから父親側のその意見をこの教授が紹介してなければ、そういうふうに、まあ、benefit of the doubt 的に思ったかもしれないけどさ。
うん。
お父さんがそういうふうに言ってるってなると、え、ちゃんと分かってて同意したのかな、騙されたのかなって思っても仕方ないよね。
You know, I've kind of had this, I don't know if it's conspiratorial, but suspicious thinking that there are governments somewhere in the world that are doing these sorts of things, but they're completely out of the public eye, and they're, you know, partly military funded, or who knows, right?
Right.
I mean, they're secret projects.
Right.
They exist, and they're doing research that
right.
people wouldn't be okay with. I think everyone kind of would agree that that's the case. So for this thing to just pop out, and this guy just uploading, you know, YouTube videos, and it's such a bizarre world that we live in. That being said, I wasn't that surprised by this happening. It seems really nowish. Now seems around the time that something like this might happen.
Yeah, あの、ゲノム編集を勝手に人間に施しましたっていうだけだったら、まあそういう人も出てくるかもなって思うんだけど、内容が読めば読むほど意味不明すぎて。
Well, that makes sense too, right?
それがやっぱりびっくりのもとだよね。
I mean, this was true with the Obokata thing, and the Samura Gochi thing was just like more confusing the more you looked at it. And
まあでも Obokata-san のケースはさ、なんていうの、もっと単純というか、だからこれも実はやってませんでしたってなったら、逆にそっちの方がありがたいレベルで。
Well, the KY-ness of this one is just maxed out KY, where this guy is like, hey,Guys, we did something really cool, right? Like, I'm really proud of this. And everyone's like, dude,
no, みたいな。
What? Have you been living under a rock? We've all been, like, anyone could have done this. We've all been, like, talking about how no one should do this. We've been making movies about how no one should do this. We've been,
そうなの。
And it's policy not to do this. And
そう、この教授の態度が中身とマッチしてなさすぎて。
But you never know who's
怯える、こっちが。
You never know who's out there doing stuff.
だからあの YouTube のビデオもちょっとびっくりしなかった？すごい爽やかにさ、英語で喋ってて、 え、こんな爽やかに喋ってる場合じゃないからねみたいな。自分のやったこと分かってる？自分がこれからどうなるか分かってんのみたいな。
It was kind of surreal.
まあだから続報に期待という感じで、現段階ではね、あの論文もないし。
And what do you think is going to happen to him? Is this like the death penalty or like a fine or like how? Where does this even go on the spectrum? We don't even. This is like an offense to humanity on some level.
もう無職でしょ、無職。
But it doesn't seem like he had super evil intentions or anything. He's just, I don't know, confused or he's confusing us. That's for sure.
But それが本当に考えても考えても全然わからない。なんか普通にアホなのかなみたいな、なんか、well, 何のため
？People get a little bonkers when they're pursuing something like this, you know, and they think they're getting close, and they think they're going to do something. The do-gooder's illusion, you know, it's kind of a megalomania that can happen, right?
でもその分野で研究してるんだから一番わかってるはずじゃん。で何かがあったら、yeah. それが医療に応用されることがさらに先延ばしになっちゃうわけじゃん、
mm-hmm.
だこの双子に何か本当に重大な何かが見つかって死んじゃったりとかね、
right. This is why it's the megalomania. It's not about the scientific broader mission or good that can be done for the world, but it's rather skewed towards look what I'm about to do、
yeah.
Look what I'm...You know, it's, he talks about how he feels about it, and he seems like he's kind of emotionally, I don't know, it's some kind of psychological evaluation may illuminate what was going on, but it's kind of...disturbing that someone can get into a mindset、
sure.
where they could go
for sure
this far. It's almost like a, I don't know, it's some kind of misguided. I mean, I'm glad he's the only one thinking this way, and it's not, you know,、
mm.
hordes of people that are just running off and、
so、
and、
not.
going into、so、to secret laboratories to go do stuff, but that's possible too.You know, people may see this incident and be like, oh my God, you know, maybe I should take the gamble too. Maybe I should get a team together.
Yeah, これはちょっと defend するのが逆にすごく難しいからね。
Well, in the black market, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.、
Mm.
When something like this happens, the black market is like, smell money.
でもリスクありすぎるからね。だからやっぱりそれにコンセントしてもらうってなるとすごく情報が少ない人かなんかだ騙すしかないよね、それに同意してもらうには。
Well, you can't. It's this technology at this stage I don't think is really practical for doing this sort of、base level genome change in a developed human being. So it would only really be applicable in this sense for embryos, you know,、
mm.
couple cells, right? And so there is no way to get consent from a few cells.
Yeah.
Right? And then, I don't know. I mean, what, that those are going to, if they're going to grow up and be people, right? You're doing something to people, so it's.
この教授目線でも理解できないし、やっぱり親目線でも理解できないよね。
It seems like a trivial thing. This whole, the whole HIV thing. Supposedly, it makes you resistant to smallpox and cholera. Some people have also said that removing this gene has been.Correlated to an increase in intelligence, which is funny since he was specifically talking about not increasing intelligence, but he may have done so. But
the problem is that we don't know, right? We don't know exactly what it does. And
we don't know how to measure intelligence, so we don't even know what we're talking about when we say
that. And allegedly he's actually done it. And these twins allegedly actually exist. So.
The craziest part is that he's just like, he's not like, I'm doing it. He's like,
yeah, it's like,
no,
oh,
I did
yeah.
it. I did it.
They were born a few weeks ago. They're here now.
Too late. Too late.
Yeah.
It's wild.
今後に期待の話ですけど。すごいよね。もう年末に近づいてきてさ、急にこんなとタイミングでこんな話をぶっ込まれると思わないからね。次。日曜日に放送された HBO Axios の中でイーロン・マスク氏がインタビューに答え、自らが火星に降り立つ可能性は 70% であると話しました。マスク氏は過去に2022年に火星に無人船を飛ばし、2024年には人類を送る計画を発表していますが、インタビューでその計画は現在も変わっておらず、今後7年間で人類が火星に到達するのは可能であると述べ、火星行きのチケットは数千万円単位になるとの見込みを示しました。火星は金持ちの避難場所になるのかとの問いには、火星ではコロニーを作り上げるべく働き詰めになるため、遊んでいる時間はない上、人類にとって過酷な環境にさらされるため、死ぬ確率も高く、戻ってこられるかどうかも定かではないと話しました。
On Sunday, in an interview which aired on HBO's Axios, Elon Musk stated that he believes there is a 70% probability of him going to Mars.Musk has stated in the past that SpaceX plans to send a robotic mission to Mars in 2022, followed by a crewed mission in 2024. That timeline remains unchanged, and he expects humans to be going to Mars within 7 years, with tickets costing a few $100,000. When asked if Mars is an escape site for rich people, Musk stated, "Once you land successfully, you'll be working nonstop to build the base. So you know, not much time for leisure.And once you get there, even after doing all this, it's a very harsh environment. So there's a good chance you die there.
そう。まあ、ちょっと呆れた感じでね。答えてたけど。で、まあ最後に、そんなところで死ぬかもしれないっていうのに、それが金持ちの避難場所になると思うみたいな感じで逆に聞き返してたけど。70% って結構すごい高いよね。
Yeah.
数字としては。
Hmm.
え、だってさ、マイケル、これから火星行く確率 70% だよって言われたらさ、びっくりしない?え、マジで?みたいな。
Only 70?
Really?
I don't know. It depends.
That's your
plan? How long I live, but...
Hmm.
I think if I don't get struck by lightning or something...It's high probability.
Really?
No? You don't think so?
Well, not for you, but for myself.
If people start going in 7 years, I mean, what else am I going to be doing when I'm like
80 7 years
or whatever?
ってことは、まあなんか40近いわけでしょ ?40 近くで最初の人類が行くわけでしょ、で、そっからまあ普通にね、優作前澤みたいにこう民間人で行きますみたいになるのがまあ民間人ってこれみんな民間人だけどさ政府のプロジェクトじゃないからただこうね誰でもお金さえあれば行けるよってなってそこからまたチケットの値段が下がってアフォーダブルになってってなるともう相当年取ってるかなっていう、
But...
でそのおばあちゃんになってからこんな火星に行ってコロニー作る作業とかしたいかっていうと
well, it depends
嫌なんだけど
medical technology, artificial intelligence, the singularity、
ね
when,
いや老後のんびりしたいんだけど
私 when you think about any single thing and you try to map it on a timeline of the future、
yeah.
your brain fails at doing it properly because everything is so much more connected to everything else
yeah
that the rate of change is changing. And so I don't think things are as far away as they seem, generally, including Mars. Mars will become a, I don't know, an obvious destination eventually, in like 30, 40 years, I think. But I don't know. I mean, history, things could go completely a different direction. We could have World War III or another black ball genetic something apocalypse.
そうね。70% はでもすごい。ちょっと。
If artificial intelligence lets me go, I think I can probably go.
I feel like my son could definitely get there if he wanted to. But なんか自分自身っていうのは思ったことないの。
Well,the way it looks right now, I think most people would strongly consider waiting because the rocket might explode. There's nothing there on Mars right now, really.
BFR 名前変わったんだよね。Starship っていうのに。
Yeah.
I liked BFR.
Well, BFR was an unofficial name anyway, so people can call it, keep calling it BFR.But if you build more than one BFR, then, and they're reusable, then you want the ships to have a name that it keeps. So it would be like Starship Enterprise or whatever, Starship something, right? But then that's the name of the ship that, you know, people, I don't know. It's like naming a boat or something.
Right.
But right now the rockets go up, it explodes. Anyone only ever sees it on TV for...5 minutes before the launch, right?
Right.
The expendable spacecraft. So, so why would you name those?
そうだね。そっか。だから名前、
You can't say like BFR this. Like big Falcon rocket.
Something.
Something, right? What would you name? What would you name a rocket if you were in charge of naming rockets that carried people to Mars?
I don't know.なんだろうね、なんかロマンチックなやつ。
Yeah.
Can
it be like kind of tongue in cheek, like a goofy thing, or should it be like more Star Trek-y and like serious?
Well, Starship is like Starship Troopers みたいな。
Yeah, but right? you could have like Starship Banana.
Right.
Right?
なんかでももったいない感じするよね。そういうアホな名前つけたら。
Starship Banana. What do you think the first one will be called?
I don't know. So it is going to be Starship something?
I'm assuming, right? I mean, that's probably what the media will do, and it'll sound cool.
I hope it won't be Banana then.
Starship Banana.
Yeah.
Did you see the full interview?
No.
He said a lot of interesting things. Elon talked about a lot of stuff in the span of like, I don't know, 10 minutes or whatever it was. He talked about artificial intelligence. He points out that human beings are not designed to appreciate existential threats. And so we're much more attracted to... some insult someone calls someone else, you know, these kind of interpersonal things get a lot more attention than, by the way, the entire human race could go extinct within the next several years because of this, you know, impending technological innovation. Right. No one's really interested in that. We want to gossip about, you know, people's feelings and what people are saying. And it's...
That actually makes sense though, right?
What does...
The fact that we are not really capable or we're not designed to care about this huge, massive problem.
It's abstract.
And instead care about.
And yeah, and I mean... We are constructed to have very strong emotional feelings and judgments about things with faces, people.
Right.
And not so much ideas.
And I feel like...そういう壮大な人類の種を脅かすような問題に立ち向かう技術とか、そもそも立ち向かおうってする、なんていうんだろう。立ち向かおうと思わせるぐらいの まあ、知識とか技術とかがあるっていうこと自体が人類の歴史の中でもうほとんどすごく短いわけじゃない。だから結局そのコミュニティの中でどうやって安全に暮らしていくかっていう目の前のサバイバルの方がずっと大事だったわけで。
Right. I mean, as a species, we're kind of failing this intelligence test because we prefer to gossip about things that are completely inconsequential in the larger scheme of things. And anyone who uses their brain for a second, I mean, this is immediately obvious. And our failure to coordinate an appropriate and proportionate response to a lot of the problems in the world is, I mean, he explained it by saying that we have, our institutions and governments have a linear response to an exponential problem. And so it's our ability to respond to it is just lagging further and further behind. It's not, it's not like, oh, we're getting closer to figuring it out. No, there's more and more stuff coming out that's posing greater and greater regulatory problems and oversight issues and ethical questions and so forth. And the more time goes by, the greater the gap is between where we actually are and the potential calamity from those technologies. So, you know, we can wait for it to resolve, but it actually is really going in the exact opposite direction from resolving itself.
Right.
Especially now. I mean, we just, yeah. I mean, the China thing is a great example, but it's not the only, you know, what happened with that CRISPR technology in China, a similar faux pas could be committed with an AI researcher somewhere in the
right,
world.
Right.
That could happen.
Yeah.
Why not? That's probably easier, honestly.
ね、で結局事後報告だからね、もうやりましたっていう、やろうと思ってますとかじゃないからね、もう手遅れ。
The at the end of the interview, kind of out of nowhere, the interviewer asked Elon, "Do you believe in God?" And Elon's immediate reaction is kind of interesting. It's kind of the scanning this person to see if they're an AI or what's going on or is this a prank or like just but his answer was really, I think, to me sounds like the only reasonable answer. How would you answer that question if I just ask you right now, do you believe in God? What do you end up saying?
Depends on what you mean by God. That's what I would say, I guess.
But that's a whole, you know, never-ending conversation about it, whatever you want to, you can decide the definition. You can say that yourself and then define God, or say no and don't define God. But
I guess.
But it's kind of the, it's a very typical question. You know, do you believe in God? But it's interesting how everyone, you know, they either say it depends, it's a semantic thing, get out of my business, you know, like,
right.
There's a lot of different responses that people have to that question. I think all of them are revelatory and say something about the person who's answering the question. You can't avoid answering the question. You right. say you have some kind of response which has implications. So,
and what did he say?
Well, he said, I believe there is some kind of explanation for the universe which you might call God.
Right.
Is there a better answer? Because, you know, saying, I believe it's, there is some kind of explanation for the universe. That's a faith, isn't it?
Right. Because there may not be.
There
right?
may not be.
which sucks. If that's the case.
Well, I believe that there's some kind of explanation. And whatever that explanation happens to be, I'd be totally fine with calling it God. It earned it.
I think it was you that maybe when Komatsu-san was here or something, or maybe it was off the record, I don't know, but you said something like, there must be, or there could be an explanation, but it's possible that we will never understand it. Like, yeah. Even if someone explained it to us. Like, do you remember?
Oh, that might have come up when we were talking about whether or not the universe is deterministic.
Right.
And so there's... Einstein believed that... seemed to believe that the universe is deterministic, but the future is completely unknowable.
Mm.
Which might sound like a contradictory, paradoxical statement, but I don't think... I mean, who knows? Probably isn't. It's Einstein. But I don't know. What do you...
It's like, it's about your... It's about the limitation of your intelligence. Or my intelligence.
Yeah.
That even if someone figures it out and explains it to me, I just don't get it. And that's...
Right.
That's always in the back of my head because that was such a new idea. Somehow, I always thought like, oh, you know, maybe one day, you know, someone will figure this out. And then and that will mean, automatically mean that I will get it too. But
that it's that you can comprehend what the answer actually is.
Yeah. But holy shit, it's possible that I would never get it. This person can explain it to me hundreds of times and I'll still be like, huh?
But there are plenty of, you know, difficult concepts that we don't.
I know, like, so
was,
I don't.
What
I don't
was
even
the answer in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? It was like, what was it, 32 or something, 46? Just it was just like a number. It's like that's the answer to the universe. And the joke is like, you don't like. You can be told with absolute certainty and you can, you know, believe this authority figure. It could be God or aliens or whatever. Like, you know, 42 is the answer of the universe or whatever.
Yeah.
But is it going to mean anything to you as a human being?
Yeah.
And what does an answer really mean if it doesn't mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Is that really the answer you need? Is the ultimate, you know, some equation that explains the whole universe... the piece of information that you absolutely needed in your life to make you happy? Or is it something else?
Yeah, and that kind of makes me... That kind of gives me the sense of doom. Doomness.
You know what? I came across an interesting source of doom. And I revisit this idea every once in a while because it's...
You'd like to feel it?
Because I don't want to feel it. Okay, so it's the entropic heat death of the universe, and this idea that after, you know, billions and billions and billions of years, entropy causes everything in the universe to, essentially, the energy will dissipate and no longer be able to do work. It will no longer be useful energy, and that the universe, the entire universe, everything that's ever lived, everyone that's ever lived, everything that's ever been made, everything that was ever said, felt, seen, whatever, the totality of everything in the universe, not just mankind, just kind of freezes over and the entire universe stops. It's just, it's done. And there's no other universes. There's no redo. There's no other dimension for you to go to. It's just the universe runs out of energy. It has a birth. It has a peak in the middle, you know, dances around, does some cool stuff. And then the universe dies. And then that's it. There's no more universe. There's no more reality. Nothing happens ever again forever. And somehow that's pretty much the scientific consensus. And I just think about this, and I'm like, doesn't sound that bad. But the more I think about it, it's like, wow, what a bummer. What a bummer. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's some next level, like, reality is going to fade away.
But then I feel
reality itself.
But then I feel like our lives are just the same, right? I mean, we can focus on the fact that we're going to die someday and be like, oh God, what a bummer. Then what's the point of this? But then the fact that we feel that it's a bummer simply means that we love it so much. We think it's nice. And that alone is marvelous.
Yeah.
I'm so positive today.
Well, if I start but, with the universe is ending, you have nowhere to go but up.
True. True that. Right. 次。過去にウォーリック大学が5000個近い単語の面白レベルを被験者に評価させた研究結果をもとに、アルバート大学の研究チームが統計モデルを作成し、単語の面白さを決定する要因を探りました。人が特定の言葉を面白いと感じる要因は2種類あり、一つは単純に単語の意味が面白いもので、体に関する言葉、性的な言葉、汚い言葉や動物関連の言葉などでした。二つ目は長さや響き、他の単語との類似性など意味に全く関係ないもので、アルファベットの K がつくものやブーツのように O が二つ続くものが当てはまる傾向にありました。
Based on a past study by Warwick University, which had subjects evaluate the funniness of 5,000 different words, a research team at Alberta University used a statistical model to determine what makes those words funny. The team found that there are two primary reasons why a word could be funny. The first being its meaning, for example, words related to the human body, sexuality, filthiness, and animals. The second reason is the word's form, for example, its length,how it sounds, whether it resembles another word, or has a silent K. Words containing two O's, such as boots, were also popular.
Boobs なんてだからもう完全にどっちにも当てはまってるからね。みんな好きなんじゃないじゃん。あの、面白単語トップ10って書いてあったのが Upchuck, Bubby, Buff,Wriggly, Yaps, Giggle, Cooch, Guffaw.
Guffaw?
Guffaw? What's Guffaw?
I think Guffaw is like a kind of laughing. I think. I could be completely wrong.
And Puffball and Jiggly.
Puffball?
Puffball is a kind of mushroom, apparently.
Puffball? Puffball mushroom?
パフボン、ジッグリー。最近ね、最近っていうかまあ今年になって学んだ単語でちょっと響きが面白いのが bleb。
bleb。
b l e b。
What does bleb mean?
bleb 知らないでしょ。多分ね、子供を産んだ人はみんな知ってると思う。
bleb。
日本語で言うと白斑って言うんだけど。ブレスフィーディングしてて乳首の一部がちょっと白くなっちゃう、詰まって、でそうするとミルクが出てこれないから詰まっちゃってあのマスタイテスとかになっちゃう、ことをブレブっていうの、ミルクブリスターとかとも言うけど、
A lot of words are weird. Most words are weird. The word most is weird.
yeah, yeah,
The word
yeah.
weird.
そうでもたまに思わない、誰がこの名前つけたのか知らないけどなんでその言葉にしたんだろうっていう、だから dog とか cup とか何でもいいけど table とか、なんでだから私は物に名前をつけたことないじゃん。
Really? Never?
え、ある？あの生き物の名前とかじゃなくてその物体に呼称をつけたことがないから、なんでこれって tear って言うんだろうとか、なんでこれって hands って言うんだろう、どうやって思いついたんだろうとか考えてると不思議な気持ちになる。Eyes とか。
There was probably a market of kind of competing potential sounds that might mean something. And I think the simpler things are, the more archaic they are, the simpler sounds we have to represent those things. So like cat.Dog, cup, head, arm, leg. I mean, it's all
right.
one syllable.
Right.
right. So.
あとさ、可愛いって思う言葉もう言語によって違うじゃん。だから例えば、pumpkin とかさ、 英語で言うと可愛いものとして可愛い響きと認識されてるけど、カタカナでパンプキンって書いたら全然可愛くないし。
パンプキン。
うん。
I don't know. It's kind of pumpkin, じゃん。
Or like, so my cat is Furby, Furby Furball. Furball とか超可愛いじゃん。あ、Furball。でもカタカナでファーボールって言っちゃったら全然可愛くない。可愛くないし。
ファーボール。
うん。
ファー玉。
うん、毛玉だし、まあ英語話さない人からすると furball っていう響きだけ聞いても別に可愛いって思わないと思うんだよね。
furball but that's、うん、that's the meaning right or I guess it's there's some sound there too。
そうそう、多分意味と音が合わさって初めて可愛いって認識してるから、うん、
balls are ball is cute
cute
like round
Yeah.
Ballish.
日本語だと例えばひらがなで猫って言ったらなんかすごい可愛い感じするけど、それをローマ字にしちゃうと全然可愛くない。
What's your favorite word in terms of its
favorite word?
Aesthetics?
What's yours? I've never thought about it.
I really like 発泡スチロール。
この間言ってたよね。発泡スチロールが好き。
発泡スチロール is Impressive. It's powerful.
ドイツ語かなんかだよね。スチロールは。あ、そう。そんな。
But there's like even like 自動販売機 sounds kind of cool to me. It's like it's, it has all these parts and it's like high tech and it's like a. It sounds cool. It's automatic. Right? But it's just, you know, vending machine.
Yeah. そうね。だから母国語とそうじゃない言葉によってね。その言葉が母国語の人にとっては別になんともないやつが、そういうふうにかっこよく聞こえる場合もあるだろうし。
How about like, コロッケ? I think コロッケ sounds cool. Like, コロッケ?
あ、そう。
It's like round and it's like... has little panko on it and
でもコロッケっぽいよね。コロッケってすごい、わかる、
すごく、right?
あとさ、名前もなんだろう、マイケルってもうマイケルっぽいじゃん、わかる、
sure.
なんか
I guess
その名前がついてることによってその人はその名前っぽくなるっていうかさ、
How do you do that?How do you make sure that that happens? Are there like people with names that really don't suit them? It's like, what? Your name's Bob? Really? No, you're lying. No, really, my parents named me Bob.
Bob. まあ、whatever. あるんじゃない?あるんじゃない?あの、だって子供生まれる前に名前考えてたけど、出てきて顔見て辞める人とかいるじゃん。あ、なんかちょっと合わないみたいな。
Huh.
だそれをそのまま押し通したら、顔にあんま合ってない名前とかもあるんじゃない、わかんないけど。
I feel like you could almost be named anything though, right?
I feel like my son looks like his name now.
Are you the best objective
No.
detector of whether that's true?
No, but...
I mean, I agree with you, but I think I'm the same bias.
単語ね。いい好きな単語なんてでもわかんないね。
People don't like what was it like moist words
like that.
嫌
いな言葉ってことでしょ。
The meaning is kind
of なんかキモいっていう。
Yeah, damp.
Yeah.
Mold. Mold. Sounds moldy.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Right. Doesn't mold just sound really moldy?
Yeah. なんか汚っぽいよね。
Yeah.
気持ち悪っぽいよね。
What about more abstract words? Like abstract.
Freedom.
Or abstract. Freedom. Freedom sounds right.
Yeah. Free, right? free sounds free.
Right? It's weird. Sometimes, I mean, we could do the experiment where you just say the same word over and over until you totally lose your mind.
Because like, the word abstract cannot mean free. Do you know what I mean?Abstract doesn't sound
like it could mean free. You'd have to be really confused
yeah.
for that to happen.
Yeah. 次。
On Monday, November 26th, NASA successfully landed the InSight spacecraft on the surface of Mars after launching on May 5th and traveling 483 million kilometers from Earth. The spacecraft entered the Martian atmosphere at 128 kilometers up at 200,000 kilometers per hour, decelerating using an aeroshell, parachute, and retro rockets in that order. InSight touched down at Elysium Planitia, which means heavenly plains in Greek, where it deployed its solar panels and will use a UFO catcher mechanism to place a seismometer on the surface. The seismometer will provide data used to model the Martian interior. Next, InSight will drill a 5-meter hole and insert a sensor to measure heat flow. InSight was accompanied by two communications relay CubeSats, Marco A and B, which assisted NASA in communicating with InSight after landing. InSight aims to gather data which would help explain rocky planet formation and the creation of conditions for life in the cosmos.
NASA が5月5日に発射し、地球から4億8300万キロを旅してきた火星探査機 InSight が今週月曜日に火星の地表に無事着陸しました。時速20万キロの速さで高度128キロメートルから火星の大気圏に突入し、着陸のためエアロシェル、パラシュート、逆噴射ロケットを順次使用して速度を落としました。InSight はギリシャ語で、天国の平原を意味するエリジウム平原に着陸し、ソーラーパネルを配備することに成功しており、今後は火星の内部の様子を探るため、UFO キャッチャーの容量で地表に地震計を置き、さらに地表に5メートルの穴を掘って中に熱流を測るセンサーを設置します。インサイトにはコミュニケーション用に2つの小型衛星、マルコ A とマルコ B が同伴していて、着陸後から NASA とインサイトのコミュニケーションをサポートしています。インサイトは岩場の多い火星の地表の様子、地層の様子や生命が存在するための条件などを探るためのデータを収集していく予定です。
Yep.
ためのって2回になっちゃった。
Mm.
火星、2つ目来ましたね。
Did you see the picture
that Yes.
it took from the surface?
Yep.
There was a dirty one, and then、mm. it took another one with the cover off.
Dirty one しか見てない。
Oh.
ちょっと待って。
There's not much to see because the Elysium Planitia、mm. is relatively featureless. It doesn't have a whole lot of rocks、
oh.
or mountains or cliffs or anything.
Okay.
It's actually...described as the most boring part of Mars.
Okay.
And that was important、because they didn't want to land on a rock、
hmm.
and they didn't want to have rocks be in the way of the drill、
mm.
either. So they're trying to find some more rocks. でもこのもう一個の写真
見てると不思議な気持ちになるよね。
It just took that picture, I think.
だってさ、
the day before yesterday.
地球みたいじゃん。
Yeah, it seems like you could accidentally forget and take your helmet off.
Mm.
And、ね、you're walking around and you、
mm.
just...
普通に地球みたい。だからこれが本当にあるんだっていうのが不思議な気持ちになるね。Mm. That, 今更ながら。
That spacecraft was sent like 6 months ago.
Mm.
Pretty fast.
Mm. 着陸した時の動画NASA の人たちの動画すごい出回ってたけど可愛いよね、
mm-hmm. You see the EDL process entry, descent and landing. That's where、so it enters the atmosphere at extremely high speed and then、mm-hmm. it has this cone shield that burns off、a lot of the heat and stuff and then it puts a parachute out and then uses thrusters right at the last secondSo it's very, they've had a lot of difficulties with Mars missions. Like, I think it's a 60% failure rate、
hmm.
so far. So、I guess the odds were against them being successful.
But, right.
But they've landed a similar design in the past to this one. So,、so I think people kind of expected it to be...more successful and that's why they put a bunch of、 expensive instruments on it. I think it was like $850 million for this project.
Oh.
Yeah.
すごいね。
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the cost of like what? Like 12, 14 Falcon 9s or something.
Mm.
Rockets.
Well.
So, but I mean, it's not terribly uncharacteristic of NASA. I mean, if that's I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the research they'll be doing should be quite interesting. They haven't really been talking about the prospect of finding alien life there at all, but they are drilling 5 meters deep, and some, I guess the consensus right now is that there's probably no life on Mars.
Hmm.
But it's possible that there were organisms on Mars a long time ago when the surface was more habitable. And those organisms, if the transition was gradual enough, could have evolved to live underground and may still be there, where there is water and where there is heat energy, thermal energy. So maybe we'll find
alien life.
Some evidence of critters under the ground or
critters. That's exciting.
Critters.
Oh, I hope it's critters instead of like
some little burrowing
microbiomes. I know that even if it's microbiomes, we should be excited. I know this, but if it was actually critters, then that's like way more exciting.
Well, astronomers seem to think that there's nothing on Mars, but I don't know.
One can dream.
I'm not a Mars scientist, but if the conditions were good before, there's water underground now, and there's thermal energy coming from below, why wouldn't there be organisms under the surface? The same way, I mean, there are organisms on Earth which have an evolutionary track that took them from the surface to underground. What do you call it? Like anaerobic, there's anaerobic bacteria which don't like oxygen that evolved to go underground. So, but I mean, life is a mystery. At least the origin is still. So I guess we don't really know. They'll be using the UFO catcher mechanism to put down the seismometer in like 4 weeks. Then they'll put a cover over it in 5 weeks. And then they'll start the heat probe thing. And the heat probe is like the weird little bouncing hammer device that like bounces like 40 times. I don't know how many times it bounces. Oh, it bounces for 4 hours. And like then it heats up the soil and like analyzes some stuff. And then it starts bouncing. I have no idea what what it is. But they have some fancy little drilling device.
楽しみだね。
Yeah, and I guess the main mystery they want to know is what happens between... So you have planetary mass from which a planet could form at the beginning of solar system formation. And we don't know how we get from accretion, which is the material coming together, to what's called differentiation. Differentiation is like the difference between Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. They're all rocky bodies, but the I guess the key point is Mars and Earth started with the same materials, but for some reason, geologically, the geological differentiation produced different layers of different distributions of material.
Right.
So what they can do is if you have waves bouncing around inside of Mars because of earthquakes or something, those waves will bend at different rates depending on what they're propagating through, the materials they're propagating through. So you can use those angles of propagation through the Martian sphere to get a good sense of what sort of materials are likely to be at each layer.
Right. I see.
And then we can know like why one planet might develop conditions favorable to life versus another. How much of that has to do with, you know, the distance of the sun or other influences. So should be pretty fascinating from a scientific standpoint.
楽しみです。次。
Amnesty International, as well as hundreds of Google employees, are protesting Google's collaboration with the Chinese government in the development of a search engine project called Dragonfly, which would deploy government censorship and presumably grant the state user data, as is currently law. Such data could be used to bolster China's already vast surveillance network and social credit score system. According to a report from The Intercept, Dragonfly would blacklist certain search topics such as Tibetan independence or the Tiananmen Square massacre. Amnesty International researcher Joe Westby made the following statement. Google should be fighting for an internet where information is freely accessible to everyone, not backing the Chinese government's dystopian alternative.
Google と中国政府が共同で開発しているドラゴンフライプロジェクトに対し、アムネスティインターナショナルと Google の社員数百名が抗議活動を行っています。ドラゴンフライはサーチエンジンの検索結果を政府が検閲できるようにするほか、政府がユーザー情報にアクセス可能となる技術で、中国政府がすでに構築している国民に対する監視ネットワークや社会信用システムがさらに強化される可能性があります。インターセプトによると、ドラゴンフライはチベット解放や天安門事件など政府に都合の悪いトピックをブラックリスト化し検索できないようにする計画だとのことです。アムネスティインターナショナルの調査員ジョー・ウェストビー氏は、Google は人々が自由に情報にアクセスできるインターネットのために戦うべきで、中国の監視社会をサポートするべきではないと述べています。
Yep.
Google はどうしたの？
Well, they removed the phrase "Don't be evil" from their code of conduct, like earlier this year, I guess in April or something.
They did? What?
Yeah, well, Google's motto used to be don't be evil.
Yeah.
And then they were like, they kind of took that out. I mean, supposedly it still says something about not being evil at the bottom somewhere. But it used to be like one of the main things.
Yeah.
Like the Google code of conduct for its employees used to say don't be evil. And that what we're doing is trying to provide users with unbiased access to information.It literally used to say in their code of conduct, we want to provide our users with unbiased access to information. And I think when they made this decision about what they were going to do with China and Dragonfly, you can't have something saying, we want to provide access to unbiased information. if you're directly involved in the development of something that specifically is designed to provide biased information, right?
Right. 本当だ。なくなったって書いてある。
It's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
But people have been extremely, well, I think there are a lot of issues with Google and sort of their company culture and what's been going on at Google.And they've gotten weirdly ideological. I mean, this is according to reports from people that work at Google who feel this. And then there was like some recordings of meetings of top people at Google. And it's unusually politicized and kind of agenda-driven sort of. It's gotten...kind of alarming for a corporate entity to be so, to have a strong ideological motivation like that, rather than just, you know, we have employees and people think what they want or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I think don't be evil is a pretty good motto. I think they should.
I think that's super important for not just for Google, but I think it's like the best motto that a company can have. Seriously. Like,
But if you're doing evil things and you're still telling other people or telling, you know, create the guise that you're not doing evil things.
It's like,
I mean, Google's been building the Terminator things, and
right.
A lot of the top AI researchers in the world say that there's only one company they're worried about in terms of AI, and some sort of accident that might happen with that. And they're saying, you know, the threat is Google, and Google is doing a lot of research on artificial intelligence in China. We don't know what the government has to do with it, but when you get that close to the Chinese government and you start helping them with this sort of stuff, yeah. And then we see what's going on in China with the Uyghur population, with the social credit score systems, and sort of these authoritarian systems that Google has been rolling out, and now they've got the attention of Amnesty International.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is kind of the the typical paranoid fear that people had is, hey, Google might go do something evil. They're getting too big and too powerful, and they got all the search engines, and they got all this data. The law in China regarding, you know, the user privacy and the relationship corporations there will have to the government, are required to have with the government, are fairly alarming. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you can't really even say, people in China can't really talk about this stuff properly, right? And even saying this, I feel some anxiety about, you know, what if the next time I go to China, you know? Like, let me just say, I love China.
Stop.
No, I do. I think China is amazing. It's fascinating. It's got great history. And they seriously have some of the best technology in the world. And the industry in China, despite being controlled by, you know, seemingly sort of socialistish, you know, authoritarian forces.
And Chinese food is great,
too. The Chinese industry has made much wiser decisions than Japanese industry, in my opinion, over the last 10 years. It's been ridiculous. So ridiculous. China's been doing great. But this human rights aspect is really unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
sorry for couching that so hard.
It's like, yeah, it's not the people, but what the government has been doing. And it's not because of the people. You know what I mean? It's not like people are voting.
Well,
for the for this dystopian type.
I mean, they are allowing direction. It to occur. I mean, you have to say, like, well, then what are you supposed to do to prevent it from occurring? And it's like, well, there aren't any non-extreme options. So
yeah.
It's a very difficult situation. I think it's trending not in the best direction.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean,
what do you think of the social credit system thing that they have going on now? Like,
すごいよね。
They have these announcements like on the high-speed rail and stuff. So one of the announcements, this was from journalist James O'Malley, said that the speaker system on a train going from Beijing to Shanghai announced the following. People who travel without tickets, behave disorderly, or smoke in public areas will be punished according to regulations, and the behavior will be recorded in an individual credit information system. To avoid a negative record of personal credit, please follow the relevant regulations.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting for me, who doesn't live there. It's like it's a social experiment, right? It's like to control people, to avoid.
They kind of had similar announcements in Shinjuku for a while, if I remember correctly. But,
it's like, なんていうの、完全にコントロールすることによって、まあ、痴漢とか、レイプとかを防ぐ。確かにそれは一定の効果は絶対にあるじゃん。ただその代わり人権がないがしろにされるっていう。だからそれをどっちを大事とするかっていうのは、まあ政府によって考えは違うし、それをこう、いろんな種類が世界の中にあるっていうのは、まあ興味深いよね。 そこに住むのは嫌だけど私は。
So you don't like this idea of the social credit system?
うん。
そのやっぱり。You know what happens if you say you don't like that social credit score system?
No.
Your social credit score goes down.
Ah, right. yeah, of course. その、なんて言うんだろうね。恐怖で縛り付けるというか、mm. あの、罰が怖いからやらないようになるとか、mm. その全て監視されてるからみんながガチガチに固められて、mm. 何もこう、政府に逆らうことをしなくなるとかっていうのは、私にとっては理想ではないから。
Well, there's...very little freedom, right? And you don't、mm. really have, I mean, it's restricting people's freedom to express themselves. Ultimately, it restricts your freedom of thought.
Yeah,、right? yeah.
And we're moving towards the full-on 1984 thought policing、
yeah.
deal.、we've got, you know...all these tech companies with their face ID chips and our fingerprint scanning and geolocating and these passive microphones on all the time and、
yep.
NSA, Snowden this, Snowden that. Everything is just getting big brothered out the kazoo. And、China seems to be leading the way.、and it's not just privacy issues where、people haveconsented to this, it's、absolutely authoritarian implementation of these things being、used against、minority populations and other disenfranchised individuals. It's very incompassionate. The whole thing seems like a really bad idea.、free speech is certainly not a thing over there. Freedom of information is... I mean, it's this is... And it, this is...one of the most powerful countries in the world, the second largest economy in the world,、still probably the fastest growing economy in the world,、doubling every 5 years GDP or whatever.、the pace is just makes Japan look like a total joke.、Japan will be a total joke in the very near future if anything remains even remotely the same.But I don't know if we want to have a government like this, this powerful, with this much influence on trade and elsewhere,、economic power. I mean, the balance of power on a global scale is a real thing. Other countries are going to have a problem with China, I expect, if they continue to roll out this sort of authoritarian, you know, oppression on its people. And I don't know that...the people in China really have the means to navigate their way through this or out of this, or how do you turn it around? Like, what? There's no incentive for the Chinese government to be like, you know what? We're just going to stop doing all this stuff.
Right.
Right? Right.
そうなんだよね。一回始めたらこう逆戻りするっていうのはなかなか考えられない。まあそれはどこの政府でもそうなんだけど、一旦政府に力を上げてしまうとそれが逆になるっていうのはないからね。だから気をつけないといけないけど。
What do you think? What do you think it'll be like in 20 years, 30 years?
I don't know.
Barcodes on your forehead,
the whole on the back of your neck.
Yeah, like just you can't do anything other than your government assigned job. I mean, this is if you really want an authoritarian empire, you go to communism and
right.
Centralized control of labor and everything, right? I mean, hopefully it doesn't go that direction.
次.
I like China. A team of scientists at Harvard University has a project called the Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment, or SCOPE-X, which will fly hot air balloons to an altitude of 20 kilometers and release plumes of calcium carbonate into the atmosphere and observe whether they reflect sun rays back into space and cool the Earth.The experiment will be a first in practical solar engineering and aims to provide a potential technological assist in combating climate change. However, some environmental groups have taken a stance against the experiment, with members being opposed to geoengineering generally or suggesting that it is a distraction from more permanent solutions.
ハーバード大学の研究チームがスコープ X というプロジェクトで高度20キロの高さまで熱気球を飛ばし、大気中に炭酸カルシウムを噴射して太陽光を宇宙空間に反射させ地球の温度を下げる計画を立てています。ソーラーエンジニアリングとしては初の試みで、気候変動対策の一つとしてテクノロジーで対応することを目標としています。しかし複数の環境団体がジオエンジニアリング全般に否定的な見方をしていたり、本当の意味での解決にならないのではと懸念を示しており、この実験に反対の立場を取っています。まあそうでしょうね。
うん、
対症療法的なことだもんね。
Do you think this could be like a psychological trap? Like, oh, we could do this if it gets really bad. And then because you think that, it gets worse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is this something like, is having a backup plan going to backfire because it kind of gives us a false sense of security? Or is not having a backup plan just dumb because we're probably going to mess it up and we're probably going to need it.
ね、どっちだろうね。本当わかんないよ。それは誰にもね。ただその環境団体がこれをね懸念に思うっていうのもわかるし、いやそんなね場当たり的にシュシュシュシュして下げりゃいいっていうもんじゃないんだよっていう、これで別に大気汚染がなくなったりするわけじゃないし、だから、まあただ当然技術としてこういうものが可能なのであれば、それを研究しなくちゃいけないのはそうだと思うし、
It could really save us, maybe. And down the road, it's like, hey, all you guys are talking shit, but guess what? Now we have this.
Yeah.
You want our special powder in the atmosphere, don't you?
まあどっちの立場も理解はできるよね。これができる、本当にできるんだとしたら、それはそれで面白いしね、なんか。
I think it'll absolutely work. I don't think it's difficult to do. I think it's It reminds me of the story of the Nephilim visiting from the 10th planet Nibiru, as described by, remember the whole Zachariah Sitchin thing? The Sumerians, they said that they had been enslaved by these tall-ass aliens that visited, called the Nephilim, which had visited from this Nibiru planet. And that they had enslaved the human race for thousands of years, interrupting our, I don't know, Garden of Eden situation or whatever was going on before that. And they had used us to collect a bunch of gold because the Nephilim needed gold particles to scatter into their atmosphere because they needed gold to protect their planet or whatever. And it's funny that that crazy idea about these aliens who visit on this planet that enters our solar system once in a while and have to fight their version of climate change with gold particles or
whatever. Yeah.
And that we've arrived at the Harvard experiment to do what the Nephilim aliens were doing. Right.
Yeah, and they're supposed to come back here, right? I forget when, but...
Yeah, I think we're probably short on gold. We've been slacking. I don't know when they're supposed to come back, but... Or how that works.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's like we forgot about them, right? Like we don't...
Yeah, we never talk about it anymore.
If ancient humans had some relationship to aliens and they came back...
Yeah.
Be like, hey guys, what's up? And we're like, holy shit.
And
we've got tanks rolling out and shit. We're shooting at it. And it's like, yo, it's us.
We've met before.
We like made you guys. Relax. Jesus. It's like the Fifth Element movie.
Yeah.
You know that those fat aliens? Not fat. The super wide. Remember the Fifth Element aliens with he has the little ornament that comes out of his fingertip to unlock the pyramid looking thing. They're like super wide aliens and they kind of waddle.
Ah, right.
And they're just made of just...
Were they that wide?
They're super wide. They're like five times wider than a regular human. I don't mean the weird...
the big one.
Not the weird one with ears.
Right, I mean the
big metal,
the metal one.
The gold ones that come back every like 800 years or whatever.
Right.
And there's some like prophet on earth who's been, he's been inheriting the story for generations and generations. Right. Like, hey, these beings are going to come back. So don't forget about this really important shit you got to do, you know, whatever generations from now. Yeah, it's probably all bullshit, but who knows? Who knows?
文字起こしのテキストは Android、Mac、iPhone、iPad のバイリンガルニュース公式アプリから取得できますので試してみてください。最初の3話は無料。月額240円で全部のテキスト読み放題。スタバより安い激安プランもありますのでチェックお願いします。バイリンガルニュース .jp 公式サイトではストアもあるのでよろしくお願いします。いろんなクールなグッズを売っています。スポンサーをつけずに自腹で運営しておりますので気に入ったら買っていただけると大変助かります。Twitter、Facebook、Instagram やってるのでフォローお願いします。
Yep.
Happy birthday, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
誕生日おめでとう。みんなマイケルに誕生日おめでとうって言ってあげてください。
Let me give you...
なんでマイケルの誕生日にマイケルがマミにものをくれるの。
I forgot to give you お土産 last week, but I found this.
大具足虫せんべいだって。
Yeah.
深海珍味。
Cool, right?
待って、オオグソクムシが入ってんの？
Yeah, せんべ
い。オオグソクムシ食べれるの？
Today.
深海の珍味としても知られるオオグソクムシを練り込みって書いてある。Why?
それとあと掘った。
あ、芋？
さつまいも。
イエーイ！インスタグラムに大量の芋の写真載せてたもんね。
I have so much.
めっちゃ嬉しい。焼き芋のシーズンだもんね。寒いから、みんな寒いから暖かくして過ごしてください。私はオオグソクムシせんべいを食べよう。じゃあ終わり。
I wanna try that too.
Bye.
Bye.